About it. We're going to talk about some cool stuff tonight, but you need to know, if you go on iTunes and go to the iTunes store and search for THF Outfitters, you'll find the games from tonight. So those of you that are in the games, you're famous. You're on the internet now. You're going to be eventually on YouTube where people are going to go, have you seen that game where that kid ate like mayonnaise filled Twinkies and threw up? And it's going to be everywhere. There's going to be like tens of views. It's just going to be amazing. So, some of y'all are still gagging on the mayonnaise. That's awesome. I did find out something when I ate. Mario and I, when we were preparing the Twinkies, we sucked the filling out with these big horse syringes. And I told Mario, of course, mayonnaise doesn't bother me at all. It's my favorite condiment. I think mayonnaise is actually a meal, and you can supplement it with bread and stuff. But like when I'm really hungry, I'll take pieces of bread and put Miracle Whip on it and a little bit of pepper and slap your mama. It's so good. So when Mario and I were making this stuff, I was like, oh, this is good stuff. And I'm just, you know, eating the stuff as we're getting it. But I told Mario that since, you know, we're going to do this to you guys tonight, we had to experience what you're going to experience. So Mario ate a bowl of the icing from inside the Twinkies with mayonnaise mixed in with it. And he got the meat sweats. So he, you know what the meat sweats is, right? Where you eat so much that you get, like, about to throw up and you get the clammy hands and you're cold but you're sweating. You're like, you know what I'm talking about? We call that the meat sweats. So Mario got it. Mario goes, I'll be right back. And he went in the bathroom, spent some time in there. Says he didn't throw up. But came close. What you didn't know, though, is that Miracle Whip makes you create saliva. So it was really hard to sing after eating a whole handful of Miracle Whip because my mouth kept filling up with spit. And I was like, it was miracle-flavored sweat, though, so that's even bonus. Okay, so Cinco de Mayo, right? 5th of May. It only comes around once every so often that it's on a Wednesday. There's a girl on Facebook, her birthday was Cinco de Mayo, and they're like, cool, how many years does it happen on Cinco de Mayo? Every year I was born the 5th of May. Anyway, I got thinking, a lot of people are talking about Cinco de Mayo and what it is, and then they're talking about how it's Mexican Independence Day, which is not true. Mexico's Independence Day is actually in September. And so we're going to lay our political views aside and not have to worry about historicity other than to say this. It means 5th of May. Cinco, 5 de of Mayo, Cinco de Mayo. Or Mayo, if you're speaking correct Spanish. But what it really is, it's a celebration of the driving of the French out of Mexico by the general and his leader of his cavalry, I can't remember, Zaragoza and like Cidador, or I can't remember the cavalry guy's name. Anyway, the French, the British, and the Spanish all had plans for Mexico. Well, the French, the Spanish, and the British all landed at the same time in Mexico. And the Spanish and the British left. They came in, bribed some people, got some people to pay some money to them. They left. Well, the French had other plans. Napoleon wanted Mexico because he hates America. He hated America. He's dead now, and I'm sure he hates a lot of things because he's burning in hell. But that's going to be on the podcast, too, so be sure you listen to that part. You get to hear me say Napoleon didn't make it to heaven. It's true. So, I don't know if it's true. I don't know. He may have had a salvation experience where he met Jesus and became Napoleon the kind and blessed. I don't know. I doubt it. And he was just a little dictator so he wanted to take over Mexico. He wanted to attack America, and he thought if he could control Mexico, he could come into America from the south and take it. Well, the Mexican army defeated them in this real stormy battlefield that happened on this day X number of years ago. But it's a misconception that it's Mexico's Independence Day. It's actually a date when the Mexican army, joined by Texicans and some people of the south, came and helped them. Well, Texas was actually a republic at that time, and so it's a little bit hard to follow all of it, but long and short is, it did lead to Mexico's independence somewhat, but it also led to the North winning the Civil War, because then the North supplied guns and weapons to Mexico, who then cut off choke points for the Confederacy at the Battle of Puebla, which actually, if you've ever been to Glorieta with me, and I say, hey, this is where the Battle of Glorieta happened, it's a choke point for the Civil War, and you hear me get all excited about it, that's what this is all about. But anyway, there are other things in our lives besides Cinco de Mayo that we grow up thinking means one thing. Most people, especially even here in Texas, if you were to go to them and say, what is Cinco de Mayo a celebration of? They're going to say it's Mexico's Independence Day, which isn't true. But how do people believe that? Why do people believe that? Come on, you can interact. It's okay. That's what they're told. That's what we've all been told, right? You hear it, you hear it enough, and you assume it's true. Okay? What are some other things you hear and hear and hear but aren't really true? The Longhorns are good. They're the state mammal. The moon is made of cheese. Nobody believes that. Yeah, but you don't anymore because you're now older than three. What else? Come on, what are some, seriously, what are some things people tell other people and they assume it to be true and they find out later it's not? Santa is real. He just doesn't come to Carson's house anymore because there's no sense in delivering coal when he's really busy. You know, I saw Santa Claus one time. Turned out my mom was putting presents under the tree in this red bathrobe, and I just thought it was Santa Claus out under the tree. It was... No, but when she's bent over and she's in a red thing and you're eight and you're looking for Santa, you know, I've probably been drinking a lot that night as an eight-year-old, and I'm just kidding. Too much Mountain Dew, that's right. Okay, listen, Santa Claus. There are other things that people buy into. There are other things that people buy into. For instance, what?
Well, I was going to say, if you eat a watermelon seed,
You can't eat watermelon seeds because you'll get watermelons or apples, all kinds of fruit, right?
Well, it's because
there's cyanide. Yeah, that's right, because the government is trying to control the population by poisoning the watermelon seeds to get all of you to die early.
So,
but not enough to kill you.
A
rubber pencil will not fly out of tuba. That's true. Now, here's the thing. Urban legend. Urban legend. You can't commit suicide with apple seeds. Urban legend. What are some other urban legends? Oh, in New Mexico, if you can see over the bar, you can drink. Why do you know that? That's a misnomer. That's an urban legend. Other urban legends. Y'all remember this one? You remember this one? There was a scare going around that if you put your finger in the coin return on a payphone, that people were leaving AIDS-laced needles in there that would poke you and you'd get AIDS if you stuck your finger in there.
What?
Or there was a story going around some years ago about a neighborhood little person that would dress up like a gnome and sneak into people's houses. Not true. Although, as a sixth grader, it terrified Emily so bad that she left the room screaming, afraid that the gnome was going to come get her. Listen.
She doesn't believe in it
anymore. No, she doesn't. But you know what was funny? Listen, that year at youth camp, all the girls brought little pocket gnomes. Well, Caitlin brought all the pocket gnomes and put them all over Emily's bed. So when she came to bed at night, there were gnomes all around. It was really funny. Speaking of youth camp, through youth camp, all of our slots are almost gone. So if you want to go to youth camp, you got to sign up. Get your sign up in. So, okay. Back to urban legends. Bigfoot. Great. Loch Ness Monster. No, he's not. The Chupacabra. Now, reel it in. Reel it in.
Sam Adams made beer.
Yeah. Reel it in. Johnny Appleseed planted every tree in America.
He didn't?
That Paul Bunyan cut down every tree that Johnny Appleseed made. Whatever. Okay? That Pecos Bill married Calamity Jane and they rode off together on a tornado or whatever. You know, urban legends, there's a lot. It's funny because on the internet there's a lot, but here's the thing. Listen, real close, and we're going to go to our groups. Maybe. We'll see. There are things that people get taught in their faith that are things that are simply passed along, and they are no more true than Bigfoot. They are no more true than those Twinkies were really cream-filled. They were no more true than the picture I put on my Facebook earlier with those big bowls of mayonnaise that said, all this icing for tonight is going to be sweet. Okay? It's something that's made to look one way, and so people perpetuate it. They continue to pass it along until before you know it, somebody else is telling you a story that maybe you had a part in passing along, and it's not at all true, but everyone's sharing it now. This happens all the time on the internet with emails. Hey, you know, Dillard's is now tracking email, and if you'll pass this along to 25 of your friends, they'll know that you pass along, and you'll get a $100 gift card. It's not true. Did y'all ever see the movie Three Men and a Baby?
What?
You ought to watch it. It's a great movie. It's really funny. Now listen, here's the thing. Somewhere in the early 90s, now this movie came out in like 1984, maybe even earlier. Three men and a baby. It's about three bachelors living together and a baby gets left on the doorstep and they raise her. Now in one scene, they pan through the apartment and the scene looks like there's this little boy hiding behind the curtains. It's not in the movie. And then all of a sudden, there's a ghost because the apartment that the thing was filmed in, some kid killed himself, and his ghost still haunts the apartment today, blah, 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 blah. The thing is, it can't be scary because it's not true. Number one, it wasn't even filmed in an apartment. It was filmed on a soundstage in Hollywood. Number two, there's another scene in the movie where they show that same window, and there's a cutout of one of the characters from his Broadway musical that's standing by the window. And when you see it, you don't think that's what it was. There's not even a boy in the window. Somebody told you something, and then you watch it, and you assign the truth you've been told to what you see and assume that's truth. Here's one. If you kill yourself, you go to hell. You see, the Bible doesn't say that anywhere. The Bible says the only reason a person goes to hell is because they haven't accepted Jesus as their Savior. Okay? And there are people who will tell you it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not. If you kill yourself, you're going to hell. And it's not true. It's theologically inaccurate. But why do so many people believe it? Is this a really good, important question? Because you're interrupting my groove.
Continue with your groove.
Thank you, sir. But now it's thrown off. What's your question?
I can't remember.
Good. That's what I was afraid of. Sixth grade. Okay, listen. The Bible says there's only one sin that separates you from God. And that is blaspheming the Holy Spirit, basically denying that Jesus is your Savior, condemns you to hell. Some people say, well, God is a loving God, and so God won't send anyone to hell. Okay, have you heard that?
No.
Not true. God is a loving God. God is the greatest picture of love. But the truth is God is also holy, and in His holiness, He cannot allow sin into His presence. And so the Bible says that because man is sinful, God demonstrated His love by letting His Son die for us, which we don't deserve. That's how much God loves you, is He let His Son die for you. And if God sacrificed His own Son so people could get to heaven, do you really think He's going to go, ah, you know what, I just made all that up. I do love you enough to let you in. Forget what Jesus did. Meaningless sacrifice. I'm just going to wipe it all away and let everybody in anyway. It's not true. Some people will tell you, well, all you got to do to get into heaven is believe in God. Right? You heard that? Just believe in God. I believe there's a God. I'm going to heaven. The problem is, according to James 2:19, James says, even the devil knows there's a God. And he's not spending eternity in heaven. That's a guarantee. As a matter of fact, it says the demons believe and they're terrified because they know so well that there's a God and that they know that they've lost, that they know they are destined for eternal torment and separation because of the choice they made. See, this idea that just because someone tells you something or you hear it enough makes it true is something that we perpetuate as Christians by letting people believe silly things like just believe in God or He loves us and we're all going to get to heaven. Okay? Some people will tell you, listen, the law of the Old Testament doesn't matter anymore. Jesus did away with that. The problem is in Matthew chapter 5, 17 and 18, Jesus himself says, I did not come to do away with the law. I came to fulfill the law. Which doesn't mean that you can just say, well, I don't care what the Bible says. I got Jesus. Listen, there are a lot of people who are going to say, well, it doesn't matter. Jesus is my Savior. I can do whatever I want. Now, on the one hand, if Jesus really is your Savior, then nothing's going to separate you from Him, and heaven is your destination. But what a wasted life. Because God has given us an entire book of what He wants us to understand about Him and how He wants us to live. And Jesus, as a matter of fact, when He says that I didn't come to get rid of the law, I came to fulfill it, He says not one, He says in the Hebrew or in the Greek, He says one jot or tittle, okay? He's talking about one dot over an I or one crossing of a T. Not one of the smallest parts of grammar will pass away from the law until all of it is fulfilled and complete. What Jesus does mean by fulfilling the law means that you're no longer under the penalty of the law. See, the law was set up for us to be able to measure how good we are, only to bring us to the point of realizing that no one can keep all of the law. It's like having a ruler that no matter how tall you are, it's always an inch taller. You know, when I was little, we had this little doorway at my house where I grew up, and my mom would back us up to the door and take a pencil and mark on the door. And eventually, in my mind, I thought, eventually I'm going to be as tall as this door. And every time she'd mark it, I realized the door's taller. And she'd mark me again, and I'm like, I'm closer, but one day I'll be there. I'll never be as tall as the door. Some people could be. I won't be. The law is that kind of measure. It's something to show you. You might be really tall, but you're never going to be tall enough to measure up to the law. So Jesus has to die. You know why? He measures up to the law. He's perfect. And so this is truth. This is truth, that believing in God and believing on God are two different things. One can still lead you to eternal separation. It's like the devil and his demons. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He says, I'll tell you at the end, when it's all done and I come back, there are going to be some in that day that are going to say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these things in your name? And I'm going to say to them, depart from me. I never knew you. You're a worker of iniquity. They're going to say, well, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do all these signs and wonders and miraculous things? And Jesus is going to say, you did all these things, but you never had a relationship with me. And so even though you live this life that looks supernaturally powerful, that doesn't get you into heaven. What gets you into heaven is that you have a relationship with me. Do you see the difference? It's like this, Chris. Who's your favorite sports athlete, whatever, favorite? Mark Teixeira, great ball player, okay? What do you know about him?
He
used to play for the Rangers, used to play first base, did some designated hitting, rotated through the infield a little bit as a utility player, okay? I don't know where he's playing this year. He got traded off. He's somewhere. But do you know him?
Not personally.
You know about him?
Yes.
Students, listen. I think too many of us are relying on the fact that we hear people say all the time, well, I know about God, and surely that's good enough. It is the greatest deception in the history of humanity to think that knowing about God is the same as having a relationship with God. When you take your last breath, there is only one truth that will matter. Was Jesus your Savior? Did you trust Him to get you into heaven? Did you trust Him to redeem your life? Did you trust Him for your eternity? Or did you go to church? Did you learn about Him? Did you even talk about Him? Did you hang out at camp and sing about Him? And know a lot of stuff about Him. But if the two of you are in a room, you'd never say, well, I actually had a relationship with Him. The greatest deception in the history of mankind is that Satan, the great deceiver, has decided that if he can circulate untruth about Scripture, God is love, everybody gets into heaven. It's good enough if you know about Him. If you work hard enough and do enough good, you get into heaven. But Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, it is by grace you are saved, it's through faith, it is the free gift of God. It is nothing you could earn on your own. If there were a person who could earn their way to heaven with enough goodness, then Jesus did not have to die. Jesus did die because we were hopeless. I can't tell you the number of people I've had conversations with. It's funny because I was in Houston 2 weeks ago with one of my former teenagers. He's a youth pastor now. His name's Trey. And when Trey was in high school, he was dating this girl that he swore was this godly woman. And so we were sitting at the lunch table one day and we were talking and we were kind of sharing, and Trey and the rest of my kids at the school knew I couldn't come on campus and start telling people about Jesus. It's illegal, okay? But if they asked me a question about Jesus, I could answer their question. So Trey and his friend sit down and one of them asked me, so what does it take to get into heaven? I'm like, well, what do you think? And I turned to his girlfriend and said, what do you think it takes? And she goes, well, if you go to church and read your Bible and pray and just try and do a lot of good things. I said, I mean, I understand that this is what Christians do. We pray, we worship, we read our Bible, we do these things. But what does it take to get into heaven? And she said, well, you got to try and do your best and hope that it's enough. And I said, I mean, surely what you're really trying to say is You've got to trust Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. And she began to cry. She realized sitting there at the lunch table that she realized she'd been lied to, but you know what? She decided that she liked her way better. And she didn't have anything to do with Trey after that. And her pastor called me and wanted to have a conference with me trying to reach his kids. And I told his pastor sitting in my office, I would think that you'd want your kids to know Jesus. To which he responded, well, you're just looking for the Baptist answer, and there's a lot of different answers to that question. I said, there's only one answer to that question. So I asked him. So in your estimation, what does it take for a person to get in heaven? He says, well, first there's got to be a desire to escape the wrath to come. I said, okay, listen, let's talk about Wesley. Let's talk about Calvin. Let's talk about the guys that founded the faith that you're a part of. And talk about what they taught. And he said, well, they taught this originally, but we've understood it to mean this. And I said, you need to know. So I'm witnessing to this pastor, which really made him mad. Pastors don't like to be witnessed to. So, and my pastor was in the room with us. My pastor was this big football player. His name was Mike Clements. He was like 6'6", was an offensive lineman at Stephen F. Austin. And the dude was so laid back, he'd have to check his pulse to see if he was still alive sometimes. He'd sit in his chair and go, yo, man, that was good. And so he's behind his desk while I'm witnessing to this other pastor, and I'm sharing with this guy, and we're going back and forth about what does it mean to be saved. I'm like, let's lay Baptist aside. I grew up Catholic, all right? I'll tell you what I was taught there. I'll tell you what I was taught when I went to the Assembly of God Church with my cousins. I'll tell you what I found in the Bible. This is what I found in the Bible. And if you believe anything besides this, you're lost too. We're done here. And this guy got up and stormed out. And as he stormed out, my pastor goes, man, that was great. Because I got to tell another pastor in town he was lost. And my pastor's still a good friend of his. You know, oh, you know, youth pastors are. They're really excitable. And he's just a... Anyway, it doesn't matter what you've been taught. The scriptures make it clear that there is only one way to heaven. And Satan will use, he'll use pastors. He'll use Oprah. I don't know if you know this or not. Oprah actually pastors a church on the internet called the Church of Oprah. Okay? Well, it's not even a church. It's a cult. It is the Christian word for poo-poo. It's hooey. Okay? Satan is a poo-poo head. I said it. There's nothing true about it. The fact that on her show one day, I actually saw her say, there are many ways to God. And millions of people around the country, because she gives away cars, and also she doesn't even really give away the cars. Companies give her cars to give away. She has nothing to do with that. That was Dakota's. Okay. Listen. I heard her say there are many ways to heaven. I've heard preachers, just put it on silent real quick so we can get to the Jesus stuff, all right? This is why I ask y'all to silence your cell phones. I heard a guy, I was a brand new Christian, a guy named Robert Tilton. I was watching TV and he shared the gospel. I was like, man, this is cool. I didn't know there were guys on TV that share the gospel. And then he said, and if you want better rewards in heaven and better rewards on earth, send me $1,000. Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, I've had this headache for the last couple of days, and one of my roommates from college said, if you'll send me $50 and put your hand on your computer screen, I'll heal you. We were making fun of this guy. This is what he'd do. He'd say, send me $1,000, put your hand on the TV screen, and feel God's power flow through the TV to you and heal you. The guy was later indicted by the FBI for tax evasion and fraud and went to prison.
What a loser.
Now, easy, because Jesus still loves him. But his message was, you send me money, you get salvation. Oh, he was filthy rich. He had 4 or 5 ranches and horse ranches. And students, I want you to hear me say, and listen, don't take my word for it. You go home and search the scriptures. This impacts me on a very personal level because my father died when I was 19 years old. And I never had an opportunity to share Jesus with him. About a year after his death, my grandmother, his mom, sent me a Bible that was his, that he made. He took a Bible and he took the cover off of it and he handcrafted a leather cover. And inside that Bible, I found a carnation and a little certificate of baptism saying that sometime when my dad was a child, he was baptized. I hold out hope that although the fruit of my life, the fruit of my dad's life, there was no evidence of Jesus in it. I hold out hope that there was at some time. And he just lost his way. And someday I'll get to see him in heaven. But the reality is, the most probable reality is, my dad and I will never see each other again. And that is a hard thing for me to deal with, because I became a believer before he died. And I had an opportunity to share Jesus with him, and I didn't take it. And students, it's not about what you hope for. It's not about, well, I hope. I wish there were many ways to heaven. I wish you could say to your friends, you can get in any way you want to. I wish that all of humanity would spend eternity in heaven with Christ, but the reality is this, that there is only one name under heaven by which all men must be saved. And so whatever it is you've been taught, don't even take my word for it tonight. You go home and open up your Bible and you read the scriptures and see what Jesus himself says. Read through the Gospel of John. It won't take you long. It's 21 chapters. They're not long chapters. You could read it. You could read it in two sittings. And see if what you come away with is that there's many ways to heaven, or that Jesus didn't care, or there's no truth in the fact that there's only one way to heaven. You see what you come up with. But I'm telling you, search the scriptures. Don't let anybody tell you anything different, especially when it comes to salvation. Urban legends, myths, deception is what it really is. All perpetrated by Satan to keep people from understanding the truth of Jesus Christ. Much like Cinco de Mayo is considered one thing when it really has nothing to do with that. Salvation, humanity's opportunity to have a relationship with God, is often taught many different ways that are completely wrong. Find the truth. Find it for yourself. And then when you find that truth, because there is only one truth, when you find it, you share it with as many people as will hear it. Life is short. Let's pray. Father, God, I really wish that there were other ways to heaven. I wish that there were something else. But I'm human. And I don't understand, but I do accept the fact that you know what's best. And that your greatest plan, that your idea all along, was that you would send your son to be a sacrifice, a demonstration of your love poured out on the cross, that all who call on him, who trust in him, and not just believe about him, would be saved. And so, God, it's my prayer. It's almost a guarantee, Father, that someone in this room has bought into the lie that it's enough to know about you. It's enough to try and do good. It's enough to attend church, or maybe you've even been baptized, but they have never began a relationship with you, the living God. God, I pray that for that person, or if there's more, for those people in this room, you would stir something in their heart that would compel them to hang around and talk with me. Talk with any of our adults, just to come up and go, hey, I'd like to know more about what it really means to be saved. God, as they hang in the balance of being deceived and being separated, or finally hearing the truth and getting to begin a relationship with you, God, I pray that you would move them to ask. Bring them from darkness into light, from death to life, from lost to found, right here in this place. God, for those of us that know the truth, and have been set free from the lies and the bondage of sin, we've been set free by you, the truth. Give us a boldness to proclaim this from the mountaintops, that there is a God who loves us so much that he died for us. And if we'll simply call on him to save us, that he will. We love you, Jesus, and thank you for your sacrifice for us. We pray in your name. Amen.